Living Hope Assembly of God.
Luke chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. As the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats beside the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to thrust out a little from the land. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. The Bible says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered him, Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing, but at your word I will let down the net. Verse 6 says, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was tearing. And they signaled to the other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left everything and followed him. For a thought this morning, just to give you something to chew on all week, let's write this down. The purpose of a fisherman. The purpose of a fisherman. When I think of a fisherman, I think of Jim Udy. If you have not had the chance to go fishing with Jim, you need to. Several weeks ago, I had an opportunity to fish with Jim, and I must say, I've never seen someone so excited about fishing. But what's so cool is to see the look on Jim's face as he reeled in this monstrous largemouth bass. He was excited. We had fished for quite a while, and without catching anything, and out of the blue, Jim got a bite. Never in all my years of fishing have I seen a person jump up and down with excitement as Jim had that day. Talking about fishing, who else in here likes to fish? I like it. Man, we didn't have many hands go up. We need more. We need to pray that God would send more fishermen to the church. I like to fish. I like ice fishing more than anything. But man, had a chance to go out with Jim, man, and just to see the excitement as Jim reeled in this huge fish. Man, but he was excited. I'm telling you, jumping up and down at the same time while reeling. Yeah. It's exciting. All I could hear was Jim say, Charles, get the net, as he reeled in the catch of the day. Once the fish was in the boat, Jim looked at me and said, this is the biggest bass that I've ever caught in my life. And out of all the years of fishing, Jim finally caught his biggest fish from the bass species. Here in our text this morning, Jesus is teaching his disciples, Peter and James, a valuable lesson about life. Out of all the years of fishing, Jim finally caught his biggest fish. And here we are in our text talking about some fishermen that Jesus met at the Lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus at this point and at this moment, he's teaching these individuals a life lesson. He's teaching his disciples a valuable lesson about not only his mission, but what would become later on their mission. The primary focus and purpose of the church is to serve. I want you to understand that. The Bible says about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, the Bible says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. Why did he come? Two reasons. He came to serve and not to be served. And next, he came to give his life as a ransom for many, as a payment for you and I. Let me back up again. The primary focus and purpose of the church, as we follow our teacher, Christ, what should be our purpose for being here? It's to serve. It is to give our lives to win the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to inform you today that church really is not about me. Church is about me coming and being equipped so that I can reach the least, the last, and the lost. And for the next 20 years, you're going to hear Pastor Charles talk about the least, the last, and the lost from where I came. See, I was the least, and I was the last, and I was the lost. I was the drug dealer. I was the gangbanger. But somebody went fishing one day. The purpose of a fisherman is not just to sit on the bank and twirl his or her thumbs, but the purpose of a fisherman is at some point to cast your line out into the water. He called them that day to be soul winners. He called them to make disciples of every people that walked the earth. He called them to make disciples of every person that they came in contact with. We had missionaries here last week. Who remember the missionaries? Oh my goodness, awesome couple. That is awesome. We need missionaries. We need evangelists. And we will have those types of people coming and ministering in our church. But I believe the church is in relaxed mode. We are on cruise control because we think that we can give our monies to those kinds of individuals and they'll go do the work for us. Good morning. Listen, that's only a small piece of the kingdom of God. The reality is this: every single one of us need to have a missionary's personality. Every single one of us need to have evangelistic personality about us. Why do I have that kind of personality? It's because I know where God brought me from and where he is taking me to, and I want somebody else to have what I have. There's an urgency. There should be an urgency inside the house of God that doesn't want our family, doesn't want our friends to die and go to a devil's hell. How many of us believe there's a hell? How many of us believe there's a devil? How many of us believe that he's working in this earth? But at the same time as he is working in this earth, greater is he that is inside of you than him that is in the world. Listen, you have the power of God inside of you, but the spirit at times lay dormant in the hearts of men. Don't allow him to stay inside the cage of your heart. You need to unlock the door so he can go free. Do you hear me today? God is wanting to use you and I to bring glory to his name. God is tired of just some good old church. God is wanting us to be empowered. He's wanting us to be changed. He wanted us to, our eyes to be open. Amen. One thing is for certain, if you are going to be a fisherman, you have to be willing to get your hands, your feet, and oftentimes your clothes dirty in order to catch some fish. Yes. Do you hear me this morning? We're going to speed through some of this stuff, but there's some meat in this text. I could probably stop at every sentence and preach from that point, but I want to get through this stuff today if that's okay with you. In my family, one of the rules of fishing is that it is my job to bait every hook of every person in my family. It is also my job to take the fish off the hook if someone catches a fish. That's not fair. Why do I have to do all the work? Because they're all either...
Yes, what?
Exactly. Because they're all either afraid of the bait and the fish, or because they simply don't want to get their hands and clothes dirty by touching any of those slimy fish or bait. They don't want to get their hands inside of that box of night crawlers. They don't want to get the dirt inside of their nails. I'm going somewhere this morning. In my text, I love my family and I love spending time with them. But when it comes to fishing, they make my job very difficult. And at times inside of the house of God, we make the job difficult when we are not playing our part in building the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. We need to be standing on the seats this morning. They love fishing, but they hate doing the things that seem scary, hard, and has the potential of getting them dirty. On this fateful day, Scripture says that Jesus, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. This was a small lake, and he stood by this lake and saw two boats beside the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to thrust out a little from the land. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Sitting would have been a common thing, a common posture amongst the Jewish teachers. In fact, they seldom or never stood while they spoke to their audience. Some would also suggest that by thrusting out a little ways from the land, it would create a type of amphitheater type effect where the water itself and the land mass around it would cause his voice to bounce around so that the large crowd would be able to hear what he was saying. In verse 4, it tells us when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." I think Jesus, in the way he acted and spoke in this situation, and Luke, in the way he tells the story, are both intentionally turning a miracle catch of fish into a parable about catching people for the kingdom of God. Do you hear me this morning? So are we on the same page this morning? We're brought up to speed. We know exactly what this text is about this morning. This text is about catching people for the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus was not merely teaching the word of God as he sat in the boat. He was displaying something by his actions and words about how he means for his followers to win men to the faith. Here is the point that I think Jesus and Luke are making in this whole story. And I'll say it, and then I'll back up and try to show it from the text. By Jesus' power and authority, multitudes of people will be caught for his kingdom. Do you hear me? By the followers of Jesus, also who teaches the word of God. Why would that happen? Because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, and it is the Spirit of God through the word of God that's going to draw men to a saving knowledge of who God is. If you haven't been here on the past Wednesday nights, last couple weeks, we've been talking about the Word of God being inspired, meaning that the Word of God is God-breathed, that the Word of God is alive, that the Word of God is powerful, that the Word of God is active. And when it falls on the ears of someone who is broken, or when it falls on the ears of someone who is wounded, that individual's attention is drawn to the Word of God, because the Spirit of God reaches out and touches their heart. Amen. My question to you this morning: if you're going to go fishing, what are you going to use? When we look in our text this morning, Jesus told Peter to push a little ways out from the shoreline so that he could teach the people. The boat became the object of evangelism. The boat became the very thing that Jesus used to preach the gospel. What has God gifted you with? What has God given you that you can use? Because every one of us has been given something that can be used to bring others to the saving knowledge of who God is. Jesus in our text was very intentional. I believe that he used the teaching of the crowd to teach the follower, his followers, a valuable lesson about the purpose of a fisherman. And the boat became the place where he proclaimed to the crowds. And the boat was the same place where the fish were caught. Jesus tells Simon in verse 4, look at it with me. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down the net. At your word, I will let down the net. But Master, we have fished all night long and we have caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down my net. Say it with me this morning. At your word, I will let down my net. Amen. At his words, I will let down my net. This is the first time that the word here translated master occurs in the New Testament, and it is used only by Luke. The interchange between Jesus and Simon in our text emphasizes the power and authority of Jesus that is about to be displayed here in our text this morning. The other gospel writers, if you look in other gospels that wrote about this incident, we see that they use words like rabbi or Lord. The word here used means a prefix or one placed over others, and therefore it comes to mean a teacher and a guide. Lord, if you're telling me to do it, you are the teacher. You are the guide. You are the instructor. You are the one that knows the way. You are the one that's going to set the example and then show me how to do it so that I can do it. Lord, at your will, at your command, I will do what you tell me to do. And that should be the voice of the church of the living God. In spite of Peter's inability to fully comprehend Jesus' command, he displayed a level of faith and trust. The King James Version says it like this: Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing, but nevertheless, at thy word. I love that. I love that, nevertheless. Lord, I'm sick in my body, but nevertheless. I really don't want to go again, but nevertheless. I really don't like my neighbor that well because they swear all the time. Their kids are obnoxious and I don't want to go to that church, and the preacher's loud and Lord, this or that, but Lord, nevertheless. And we need to have a nevertheless mentality. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We all need a nevertheless when it comes to God. And even though when we feel like we don't want to do it, God, nevertheless. God, nevertheless. I'll do it anyway at thy word. Many of us in our text this morning would have stopped at Peter's original response. Master, can't you see I'm tired? I've been working all night. I've been fishing all night long. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night. Many of us would have stopped there. We wouldn't have kept going. Reason would have suggested, what is the use, Jesus? It's not going to accomplish anything. Have you ever been there in your faith? Have you ever been there when it comes to reaching out to your loved ones and you know they need a relationship with God? Have you ever had a ministry that was not fruitful and all of a sudden God tells you to cast out a little ways, to thrust out a little ways from the bank and drop your net in the water and continue fishing? Have you ever been there? I have. Have you ever just been there in life where you just wanted to give up, where life has handed you a deck of bad cards? And the voice of God comes to you in those moments and in an instance and says, no, let down your net, and you are faced at that moment with saying, nevertheless. Like I said, many of us wouldn't have kept going. Many of us wouldn't have obeyed what God had said. We would have reasoned within ourselves and we would have told him, what's the use? We are the fishermen. And if anybody knows fishing, Jesus, we know fishing. And by the way, you're a teacher, you're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? Later on, Peter found out not only did he know something about fishing, but he was able to make the storms on the sea stop raging. He was the one that quieted the storm and told it to behave. Peter later found out that he is the same God that called those things that are not as though they were. He's the same God that spoke to a earth that was formless and void and spoke life to it. The same God. We believe in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are one. All three has been before the beginning. And they created time. Jesus created time and stepped out of eternity and stepped into time and died for you and I. He is the second person of the Godhead Trinity. Amen? We trust in him today. We believe that he could speak to our lives. And oh my goodness, we believe that he could speak the good things. But do we believe that he as well would challenge us to do the hard things? See, that's the problem with the church. Half of us don't believe that he'll challenge us to do the hard things. Sometimes God wants us to do the hard things. So, you know what? Sometimes God wants to use you when you're tired. Do you think he cares about you being tired? Really? What did he tell? He said, man, fellas, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Man, dude, wake up, boys. Why do you keep sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake a little while longer? Goodness, is prayer more important to you than sleep? He was challenging them, guys. God would challenge you to do things that you just don't want to do. He would challenge you to go places that you just don't want to go. The Bible says in the book of Mark that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. That's a forceful thing. Oh. I mean, God, you'll tell me to do some hard things? Yes, he'll tell you to do some hard things. And guess what else? He'll tell you to do some almost impossible things. But all things are possible with him. Yes. To those who believe. Recently, I spoke with an individual who's facing a tough time in ministry. There's so many pastors and leaders that are facing tough times in ministry. And it seems like this individual that my wife and I were praying with, at one point their ministry was thriving. At one point their ministry was producing a lot of fruit. And out of the blue, the enemy came by and suffocated their ministry with lies. Through FaceTime and phone calls, Adrian and I, we encouraged this individual, as we have encouraged many individuals, to not give up. Don't quit. If God called you to be a fisherman today, you're called to be a fisherman tomorrow. And every born-again believer, as this is used as an example and becomes a parable that we adhere to today and gain the principle out of it, listen, every single one of us, Brother Jim, are called to be fishermen. We're called to get on the boat of life and to catch men for the glory of God. There's no one exempt. Have you ever been where Peter is in our text? Some of us are tired of fighting for our marriage, our health, and the very thing that God has called us to do. Have you ever been at a place in your life, but like Peter, God is calling us to cast our nets on the other side? Our job this morning is to say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how this is going to work out, but nevertheless. Peter at this point really didn't know Jesus that well. Jesus came to these fishermen almost a stranger, and yet at his command, Peter obeyed. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not yet seen. It's faith. The world doesn't understand it. The world believes in tangible things that you can touch, and I promise you, half of this has slipped into the church, where we can't see it, we can't touch it, it's not real. And so therefore we have thrown miracles, signs, and wonders out of the window. We have thrown a greater portion of the Holy Spirit out of the window in many of our churches, and we treat him like the drunk uncle at the family reunion that we are ashamed of. We want to tuck him away in the back room, away from the rest of our family, away from the rest of our guests. And then when everybody's gone, he's okay to bring out again. Can I tell you today that the Holy Spirit wants to be at the forefront of everything that you do and say? He wants to be at the forefront of our churches, leading us and guiding us. There will be times that God will ask us to do things that we just don't quite understand. Our job in the meantime is to trust that he is in control and that his plans and purposes are perfect. They're perfect in every way. As a church, we are going to reach out to the city and the surrounding area in various ways. Do you hear me? We're going to reach out to the city. We're going to have boats spiritually that we're going to stand from. And we're going to minister to the needs of the people in our city. I know it's a hard challenge for some of us. Some of us haven't even probably ever witnessed anybody. And God is challenging you today. No, I'm not talking about just passing out a tract. I'm not talking about just merely passing by a stranger and saying a few words. But I'm talking about really getting in the lives of individuals. I'm talking about really inviting families into your home. I'm talking about being intentional in ministering to people. I'm talking about having little JoJo over at your home while you're having fried chicken and him eating the fried chicken on your sofa and getting the grease inside of your $2,000 love seat. That's ministry. That's fishing. That's getting dirty. There are going to be times that when we go fishing that our labor is in vain, feels like it's in vain, or seems in vain. There will be times that you and I will be tired and even exhausted, and God will say to us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." Say, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." That can apply in every area of your life. Do you hear me? That doesn't just work with what we're trying to do as a church, winning the lost. When you feel like life is at its end and you feel like it's pressing on you on every side, you can hear the voice of God every day through the scripture that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. When we work for God, the scripture tells us that, I'm just going to paraphrase it and then give you the scripture. Man, there are times you're going to be just worn out. There are times you're just going to get tired of doing what you do. There are times, guess what? Don't tell anybody that I said this, but there are going to be times that you're going to doubt that he's even real. Huh? You ain't never been there? You ain't never had a circumstance where you feel like, man, is this even real? Is this worth it? Can I just be real? There are times that life is pressed on me. And I just wanted to quit. Guess who else was at this place? The prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 20, he said, when I wanted to quit, I couldn't. Why couldn't he quit? Because he said his word was like fire shut up in my bones. Every time he wanted to quit, it came out. Why don't I quit? For two reasons. For one, because I would be living a lie. Because what has happened inside of me is real as real can get. And for two, there are countless lost people that doesn't feel what I feel. They don't know God like I know God. It's my job to tell them. That's what Jeremiah was saying. I can't quit. My nation is dying spiritually. I have to tell them. I have to keep fishing. It is at this point that when we're fishing in life for individuals, fishing on the water, have you ever just been fishing and all of a sudden you're not catching anything? You just get tired of fishing. And your mind began to wander. And your focus starts to drift in another direction. While fishing with Jim on his boat, I noticed that we would drive to a certain location on the lake and stop for a while. And before long, the boat would start to drift without us even knowing it. We would find ourselves in a totally different spot than where we were previously. Eventually, Jim informed me that the reason the boat would drift was because there was no anchor to hold it still on the water. There are times that when we're doing life in ministry, that we start to drift. Our focus is not where it should be. Our priorities are not where they should be. And if we and we find ourselves in a completely different spot than where we started. Have you ever been there before? You're just drifting along life. You're just going through the motions. You're just living and you're just existing with no joy, with no peace, with no substance. You're just living through life. You're just there, and the Spirit of God doesn't really mean anything to you anymore. Church is just church as usual. And we ask ourselves the question, how did I get here? For some of us, have you ever been in a relationship with someone where, or you ever been in a financial situation where things were going well and out of the blue, bam, you find yourself in turbulence, shaking, violent storms? How did I get here? How did I drift to this place of complacency, a believer who was once on fire? We ask ourselves, how did I get here? I remember when I was first born again, Brother Jason, I was in love with Jesus. I was on fire. Then I found myself in complacency and apathy. And I have to ask myself, how did I drift to this place in life? Have you ever been there? Can I get an amen? I'm preaching to some real people this morning. If you are always consistent, you're probably faking the fall. I remember once when I found myself in this place, and I was talking with the Lord, and I was in this place where I was doing ministry, and ministry was going well, and I heard the voice of God tell me, Charles, it said to me, Charles, I'm serious, spoke to me in my spirit, Charles, where have you been? What do you mean, Lord? And he said, you don't spend time with me like you used to. Yeah, you're doing ministry. You're seeing young people come to know me as their personal Lord and Savior. You're seeing signs and wonders take place in the youth group, kids being baptized in the Holy Spirit, saved and born into the kingdom of God. You're seeing kids stand up and giving words, speaking in tongues and giving tongues and interpretation inside a youth group. You're seeing all of that. But he called my name and said, Charles, where have you been? Going through the motions. He started reminding me of a time when I would find myself on my knees for no reason at all. I would steal away and pray. I had a secret place where I would spend umpteen time talking with God. When we were first saved, when we were first born again, there was a passion inside of us. There was a hunger. There was a longing. There was something that caused us to want to be near God. There was something that prompted us to want to tell somebody about the saving knowledge of who God is. And now many of us inside of the church, we're just satisfied with going to church, and the devil is satisfied with you being here. If that's all we're going to do. Am I preaching too hard this morning? This is the same question that many of us are asking about life and marriage, our ability to achieve and receive, our ability to raise our children. How did I get here? How did I drift to this place? Just as Jim informed me, the reason the boat would drift is because there was no anchor to hold it still. It's the same answer that I give you today. Are we allowing Jesus to be our anchor. Because when the winds blow, that boat is not going to move if there's an anchor heavy enough holding it down. When Jesus is our anchor, drifting is not an option. When Jesus is our anchor, our focus and priorities will line up with his heart and his desires. For some of us, we have too many hooks in the water. We're talking about being a fisherman, the purpose of a fisherman this morning. In other words, your priorities are out of whack. Your work has become more important than your children. Your relationship with God and church has taken a backseat to extracurricular activities. Once upon a time, church was the most important thing to the people. Church and family. Church and family. Church and family. Now, we have been indoctrinated with everything under the sun, and we feel like we got to participate in it. We feel like we're doing our kids and our families injustice if we don't take them to every single thing around the world that the world is doing. Listen, you are called to be salt and light in the earth. In other words, you're called to be different. Your lifestyle and what you do is going to be different than that of the world. Ouch, but say amen. That's just the reality. We are to be different from the world, because we are children of the light and not children of the darkness. The polar opposite. As a matter of fact, if you look anything like the world, you might have a problem. Guys, this is good preaching. I believe in my spirit that God is speaking. He's encouraging the hearts of those believers who are ready to do war against the devil. Do you hear me? Not to say that these things are not important, but they would not amount to much of anything when compared to eternity. Do you hear me?
Living Hope Assembly of God.